The World Show with Nikki B.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Right now I am joined and I'm going to keep trying to pronounce your name correctly. Kanti Nokwali. Welcome to the World Show, Kanti.
Thank you so much for having me, Nikki. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. You know, I've got to tell everybody, but when I listen to your album, and this is the first time you and I have met in person, but when I listen to your album, I think, I want this man as my friend. I love his music so much. He brings me, you know, you just fill my heart. And it's like, I want to know this person. Thank you. Thank you for such a beautiful album. I'm going to start by saying that. Yes.
Thank you so much for receiving us, you know. I really love the World Show. You know, first time I got introduced to it, I was watching Doomza performing live on your show. And I really just been following since then. I really love the work you do and your taste. So I'm really happy to be here tonight, yeah.
I'm so excited because I think it was your first single that you released. Was it Intlokomo?
Yes.
And then I was like, where's this person? I think I even wrote to you. I'm not sure. And you said,
yeah, we had a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you said, no, the album's coming. I said, okay, let's wait. But now this album is here and what a joy it is. So we're going to explore it. But before we start, since it is your first time on the show, tell us a little bit about Kanti, where you come from and how music came into your life.
Man, I think largely because I grew up in the township. I grew up in a small town called Butterworth, Etuwa, here in the Eastern Cape, in a location called Ecuba. And you know, hey man, the braais there, the local taverns, there was still a culture of jazz music, township jazz being played, you know, and that's the kind of space I grew up around, you know, my mom having friends over, playing Jimmy Lulu and Brahu. So I guess those sounds have always stuck with me. Largely what my music is influenced by, and it's really influenced by what I've learned from being a black man, I'll say, you know, a South African in this time, you know, in this time that is defined as the democratic South Africa. So it's my music really meditates a lot around like what I feel that is, and the stresses and the beauties that come with that storyline. Yeah. Well, so that's a way I could coin what Kanti is, I guess. Someone who just grew up really listening to what the environment is saying, and really umthombo is me trying to express what I feel from that.
Beautiful. And in fact, tonight I've been playing a lot of what I call folk music, new folk music, which your music definitely fits into that category of. And it's what you said, because folk music for me is about reflecting your environment, your community, the world you live in. It is the people's voice, if I put it that way. Yes. But, you know, when I listen to your music, there's three things obviously that strike me. One is your vocals are like on another level, that I'm going to go into detail on that. Your songwriting, but also your guitar playing. So when did you discover your voice, your ability to write songs and play?
It was actually in the church space, you know, in 2007, I was a young boy at that time. A friend of mine invited me to church and they were having a performance as a boy band or a boys choir, that's the term you'd use. So I was a visitor and they're like, dude, our tenor's AWOL, we need someone to sing this part, come through. And we practiced the song for like 10 minutes and like 15 minutes later I was on stage for the first time ever in my life.
Oh wow.
So that's literally how I discovered that I had a voice, you know. And from there, you know, the church space was really, I'd say, limited into what has already been done, and you had to fit into that format. But my guys were these fresh new guys just writing their own songs, bringing a new sound into the church. So that's where the songwriting started. But really, on my own, it's when I got a guitar in, I think it was grade 12, yes. So it was a birthday present. Got it. My mom was like, what do you want? And I was like, a guitar. And I didn't even know how to play or what I was going to do with it then. But yeah, started composing my own music from that time, writing songs on three strings, like, and the guitar being off tune until somebody in the park, I was playing them a song. They're like, dude, have you tuned your guitar? And I'm like, what is that? And so, yeah, from that space. And then in university, that's where really I think the career then began, because I met a couple of friends and we started a group called Soul Be Jazz. And that's where we started performing outside of the church space, performing more music about like what I'm saying now, what's around me. I began writing about my life and writing about my opinions, you know. So yeah, that's where it all began, man. It began when I was introduced to Pan-Africanism. That's another, I feel it was a milestone for me in my writing and defining myself, you know. It really, the Pan-Africanist message really struck my heart. I was like, man, I've been living for so long thinking that I know so much, but I didn't even know the story of this place that I've been born in, you know, and or the history, the actual history, and the parts that aren't really in our history books, you know. So that's really called to me. And the way of being Abantu that they used to live in, you know, like, it's something that's still calling to me, like trying to unpack that, like, what does it mean to be black, you know, before all these influences came and tainted, I'd say, our identity.
Absolutely. And out of interest, relation to what you were saying, so when you went to university, what did you go for music?
No. Actually, I went because, you know, you have to go to university. So I went and studied administrative management. It was a diploma for 3 years. And oh man, really, I wasn't really studying the administrative management. I was like a comrade in the PAC student movement, PASMA, and I was really involved more in the societies that existed in the institution and trying to like deal with issues. And I also went to the drama society. That's also where we rooted like the imagination, man. So yeah,
and I suppose
it was music.
And I suppose the drama society also the ability to perform also, it must have helped with that. Yes
definitely. But your acting, I quickly realized that that's not what I'm called for.
Well, again, as long as you adapted what you learned so that you can share it with your performances. There's a whole lot I want to go into with what you've said, but I think for now, let's play a track. The first track, in fact, this is the one I've been playing lately on the World Show, which is Ingoma. Tell us about Ingoma. What's it about?
Ah, man. You know, I choose this song as the opening of my album because it really defines, I think, my journey with sound, you know. It says, Yimamele Ingoma, iyakhala, you know. It really speaks about just existing in your own vibration, you know, and really trying to listen to what that is, why you are this person you are, why you are in this environment, and like not really trying to figure it out so that you can define it, but just really listening so you can hear, you know, you can feel what it is to be you. So yeah, it's a really mystical song. But I feel like so many people have connected to it, and I'm really happy about that, because it's really about just listening and feeling. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Kanti Nokwali on the World Show. His album's called Umtombo. And coming up now, this absolute, I don't even know which songs to choose. Each and every one is a shining gem, but we'll see what we can get through today on the World Show. Check it out. Here is Ingoma. Kaya 959. Beautiful Ingoma Kanti Nokwali with us on the World Show. The album's just been released. It's called Umtombo. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Honestly, I could play every single song tonight, but we won't have time.
Yeah.
But I'll play them all at some point on the World Show. That's for sure. So now, when you started composing for this album, how did it come about? You know, how did, because I think you had some involvement with Imsaki's label. How did you meet Induduzo? Tell us a little bit about how this unfolded.
Such a long story, Nikki, you know.
That's what we're here for.
being an artist in the Eastern Cape, you know, we struggle a lot to break through, you know, to the level where we can record like proper projects and hope to break through beyond the provincial space, you know. So I think I'd been trying to record in 2017 and 2018. I was trying to record an EP with my engineer, Ulwande Makohliso, a brother of mine who just said, yo, dude, like this voice of yours, we need to do something about it. We need to have something out, you know. It's enough now. You've been performing around, but we need to have a project. So we tried to record. And when we finished the EP, mixed and mastered, he had a break-in in his house.
Oh, no.
And he lost his studio equipment. He lost hard drives, the backups, nothing. We couldn't recover the whole thing. So it was just like, boom.
You lost all your work. Tombo.
Yeah. Like for 3 months, we'd been recording, you know, like with different sessions coming in. But then I'd won a competition in 2016. And we were just having trouble scheduling my recording with that. Because part of the prize was that I had to record a full studio project. So in 2020, they sent me this email. They're like, dude, we're trying to wrap up the competition. Come record. We've got a week in studio for you and a small budget. Come through. And then that's where Umsaki comes in, man. So I spoke to her and I'm like, yo, dude, there's this opportunity for me to record the music. And she helped me so much with that because it was a small budget, but she covered some of the expenses and really introduced me to Umkhulu Nduduzo and suggested him as the producer. And it was a no-brainer for me because I'd also just caught on to his sound and what he's been doing, you know, for the years. So when we spoke to him, he was so open, man, and just having him in studio, oh, it was such a blessing, Nikki. So Umtombo, we began recording March 2020 during lockdown. like it was, I think, a week before lockdown that we finished recording.
Oh, wow.
And then we couldn't do anything about, you know, post-production because everything was just a mess. The engineers were that side. Like things couldn't go, so that's where the music was birthed. But it's really a journey of my songwriting since 2013, since I was writing for Soulbeat Jazz, and really fine tuning what I'm trying to say and what like my purpose is, you know, with the sound, you know, and really trying to collate my story of who I am and how I feel I'm. Like my identity, I feel the identity of a black man is so interrelated, you know. So just really trying to tell my story so that in my healing, someone else who's connecting to the music can relate and also find a way to heal in their journey as well. Yeah.
Beautiful. So the songs that you had originally recorded that got lost or stolen, were these the same songs or did it change along the way?
So it was only supposed to be 5 songs initially, and then
it was going to be an EP.
It was going to be an EP, but you know, I write a song like almost every day. So by the time things, like, it was 2 years later, by the time things aligned for me to be able to record again. So there was a lot more, but I really didn't want to overcrowd my introduction into the space. I really wanted something that's going to be easy to go through and understand. So we added 5 more songs, but it was almost the same songs, maybe one song different from the original project. But yeah, man, it was so great too, because some of the songs were literally written like 3 months before we started recording. So it's like a whole collection from back then up until my most present moment in 2020.
Well, it's so interesting because sometimes, you know, we always say things happen for a reason. And maybe it was because you had to wait. You had to wait to meet Nduduzo and Msaki, and you had to wait to add on extra songs. So maybe it's all just worked out perfectly. Please tell us about the next track. And this one you've chosen, because honestly, I've chosen one or two, but I want to play all of them. Tell us about Itemba. Tell us about Itemba.
Ah, man, Itemba, you know, it's really a song I wrote when I was really trying to stay true to myself, I could say, you know, because to be an artist and an adult and with the responsibilities, you know, that come with being a man, it becomes a lot, the pressure, the financial pressure, because there's a lot of instability in our careers. So it was really a song to pick me up, to say that, no, man, this is a gift that you've been given, and there's nothing else you can do except to keep trusting in that your journey is going to go where it's supposed to go. So it was really inspiring myself and really realizing that actually anyone who's ever gotten anywhere had to have faith, you know, had to believe, and they had to trust that they're going to get to the place that they're trying to get to. So that's what Itemba speaks to. It speaks to people not letting the pressure, you know, push them to things that they don't want to do and that they're not supposed to be doing, but really having faith that what if you're listening honestly to yourself, you know, and to what you feel is your path, then if you can hold on to that, then definitely something is going to come off that.
You speak all
and basically,
this?
You know, yes, it also goes into how old that is, you know, and like everything, even in the story of Noah, when the world was being destroyed, you know, and with rain, and the came this bird with a leaf showing the signs of life, that like all the stories we can read about, they all speak about a dark cloud, silver lining kind of situation. So yeah, it's really reiterating all of that narrative and really trying to bring it to life, like in our current situations, because there's a lot of situations that feel like floods, that feel like we're going to be overwhelmed. Nothing will come of this, but then just that speck of hope can change so much.
Beautiful. You speak about, you speak a lot about the Pan-Africanism element of it, but ultimately, even in your explanations of these songs, there is that, but there's also this, you know, universal messages, if I can put it that way, that I think are relevant for anyone in the human race, you know, and that's what I'm picking up as well.
Definitely. I feel, you know, the African sonic is really a lot about listening, you know, more than creating. It's really a lot about listening. And when you listen, you know, and you listen to your environment and you listen to history and you listen to your emotions, you don't really only hear your story and your pains. You collect a lot of energy that is universally felt, you know. And yeah, I guess more than I think the African struggle really, it's like something I highlight because of the person that I am, but it's really also a highlight to the world, you know, to show like the kind of living that we're choosing to go on and the effect it has on society as a whole, you know. So the Pan-Africanist message is really linked into the universal message of harmony and peace, because Africans were very harmonious before modernity was enforced upon them, you know. So it's really trying to connect to harmony and that kind of living, you know, seeing each other as equal and harmonious beings that can all coexist. Yeah.
I love the way that you spoke about the importance of listening and about the culture of listening. Because again, as somebody who doesn't speak the language, but I was listening to your album, and as I was listening to it in different songs, I'm hearing different voices. And let me just explain that. I feel like you're almost taking on different personas as you're telling a story. The story, you know, you're telling it from different people in the song, if I can put it that way. And that made me. Yes. And that made me realize this is storytelling, because it's almost like you take on the childlike quality at a certain moment. You take on the quality of an old person at a certain moment. And it comes through in your voice and your storytelling. And I found that absolutely wonderful, you know?
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, African spirituality. And the understanding that, you know, as we exist in this time, in this timeline, a lot of spirits still exist through us, you know, and there's a lot of messages that might have been missed in other timelines that are still necessary to be heard in this time. So I think I've opened myself more and more to that, and understanding that it's not really about kind, you know, quality, but it's really about listening, like as you're saying, and listening to what has been said, and perhaps trying to reconfigure it in a new way that can be received better, you know, in this time, because there's a saying, there's nothing new under the sun. Like there's so much truth in that, you know, and we see like the world going in circles, and we really need to start listening better. I think that's the lesson we're missing as humans. We're really quick to do, and we're really quick to say things, but we haven't taken a lot of time to listen. Yeah.
And they always say listening is the greatest form of love. So there we go. Beautiful.
Oh man.
Yes. But you know, I was saying this also, and I'm not sure if I'm articulating it correctly, but it's almost like, in telling these stories, you take on the different personas in the way you express yourself. And that is what I'm trying to express. It's beautiful. Let's hear another track. This one is a Siyombela. Tell us about Siyombela.
Oh, man. Siyombela, you know, it speaks to so many things, because ukombela, it can be understood as a rhythm, first of all. And ukombela is a rhythm that is found across African culture, you know, across African sonic understanding. And it really has to do a lot with the repetitive sounds, and ukungqisha, which is like stomping. And so ukombela is really a huge part of our reality as Africans, because even when you look at what we've gone through, you know, through history, we've been circling around the same question and not really finding a way through, but always managing to survive, you know. And we just don't stop, you know. It's just this thump thump thump, and it just keeps going. So it's really a celebration of that, of the resilience of Africans, and how much we persevered, and how much we're still trying to, you know, stick to that ukombela, that rhythm, even though it's so distorted in our time. But you can still see it in the patterns of who we are, and more I think on the political side, it speaks to how we also classified, you know, into these worker bees kind of people, you know, where we we're fulfilling roles of industry, but we would be not in charge of industry. Whenever actually at the top of anything, we're always there as the worker bees. But even through all of that, still African society has persevered and has survived and will be in a state of thriving, I believe, when we really connect to what that means, what that perseverance is, you know, that identity and really connecting to it.
And how we should be applying it. Thank you so much. Tanti Nokwali on the World Show. This one is Siyombela. The album is Umthombo. And as I say, and as I'm sure you're experiencing too, what an absolute gem. Kaya 959. Beautiful, beautiful. Siyombela. Kanti Nokwali with us, the album's Umthombo. And listening to the horn at the end there, I've got to take a moment to credit these beautiful musicians you worked with. Tell us a bit about who was working with you, Kanti.
Oh man, so the trumpet you hear there is Utomi Peko. You also hear him on Ipupa Kabiko, he's the trumpeter there. But yeah, man, he's a friend of mine from here in East London. You know, I'd been curating some live events and we connected in that space. Also on the drums, I've got to Esha Kametse. Man, a big brother of mine, that I met through Umsaki while she was curating some events here in the Eastern Cape with the Alt Black series. Sorry. yeah. Also on bass, we've got Usakile Twala, who some might know from Tabang Taban's ensemble. And we've got Ubalindunja, a soul brother of mine who I'd been playing with in the band since 2013. And a lot of my friends, man, in the Eastern Cape, like Ukaweka Zikiyose on the backing vocals. And we also had the privilege of having Udumza coming in with some guidance with the vocals. Psyche was in studio as well. It was such a beautiful time, man. During, you know, a time of so much uncertainty, I was so privileged to have so much light around me, you know, and yeah, it was really an honor to work with these people.
Beautiful. And you know, one of the things I was thinking about with Nduduza as the producer, what I really love about this production, it's he didn't overproduce it. He kind of left it in its essence, is the best way I could say. And he also plays piano on some of the songs.
No, he actually doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah, so he says, yeah, while we're in studio, it's like, oh man, I don't remember which song it was, but it's like, I really would love to play this, but I don't want to nduduzo it. People are going to say, ah, he came and nduduzoed it.
Yes.
And no, I think it was really more about really appreciating, what this album is. And more than anything, I'm a storyteller and it's really more about the words being heard, you know, and the story being always central. He says this like, while we're in studio, that no, the stories are really central to what is being presented here. So he was really sensitive about that. Like, no, let's not put too much on it.
Yes.
Let's leave it like this.
I'm so pleased.
Yeah.
Because, you know, another person might have like overproduced this album, but it's precisely that like earth quality that in, you know, and that, I don't know, authenticity that is allowed to come through because it is left like that. And I'm so pleased that you're working with people from, you know, people you've grown up with, people from your area as well. This is beautiful because in Joburg, I think we get spoiled and we get used to the greats and it's always nice to discover the amazing talents that are around the rest of the country, you know. So we're going to have time. I think I'm going to play a little bit of this track because there's another one that I really, really want to end with. But what's Imveku about? I like this one because it's got a slightly different vibe to the others?
Imbeku, oh man, it's where I really get more into my life and reflecting really on growing up and coming into the identity of being a grown up, you know. And when you look at your life and the lessons, you know, that you've learned, it's always like, damn, man, I haven't been listening for so long. And Imbeku really reflects on that, on going through life without being concerned too much about who you are, you know, and the danger of that. And it really speaks to my mother as an inspiration, you know, an inspiration in my life, because she's persevered through so much, you know. I've seen her go through so many downs, you know, in the ups and downs, you know. So it's really been such a, she's been an anchor, man, in terms of me having faith and knowing that life gets tough sometimes. And it was really an ode to her to say, thank you, man, for always being so tough, you know, and sticking through all the things that have come your way. Yeah, so Imbeku is really speaking about being a young person and the dangers of letting everything around you move you away from yourself.
I love it, and I love the fact that you've celebrated that love with this one. Here's a bit of Imbeku, because I still want to end with one more track and one more chat before we let Kanti go. The album, I'm going to keep repeating it. You've got to get a copy, Umthombo. And of course, it is the World Show. Ah, what a song, Kaya 959. It makes me so happy, the song. Absolutely beautiful. Tanti Nokwali on the World Show. Imbeku. Literally, it makes my heart smile, the song. It brings me so much warmth. But so does the full album. Kanti, we are reaching the end of this feature because I want to squeeze in one more track. When are we going to see you? What have you got coming up? Have you got events coming up for the season? And when are you coming to Joburg?
You know, so many people have been showing me so much love from that side, you know. All I can say right now is that we're going to launch the album that side in Joburg.
Yay!
But I don't have the details as of yet. But for the month of December, I'm going to be shooting with some friends here in the Eastern Cape. They're shooting a documentary covering some of the artists coming out of the space and the culture that we preserve. So that's what I'm going to be part of. So I'm going to be in hiding a little bit. I just came from Cape Town, though, at Sizipho Poswa's opening exhibition at the Southern Guild. That was really amazing. The reception has been really lovely.
Yes.
But otherwise, people must look out on my social media, on Instagram, Kanti Nokwali. And yeah, we're going to keep them posted about the movements. But we're so excited to come and play the music live, man. It's been stored in like hard drives and clouds. And we're so excited to be out and playing the music finally.
And I must say, I've watched you on YouTube performing live. And I'm as smitten with watching you perform live as I am with this album. I can't wait.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you for joining us. We've run out of time, but I'm insisting we end with Zio Balwa, because it's another very special song. This one, I don't know, it's almost got a lullaby quality. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it.
Quite correct.
Good.
Quite correct.
Yes.
And you know, Zio Balwa, it speaks about the Nguni people, and it's really trying to awaken us to that collective identity. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your beautiful work, your incredible message, and wow, your light energy. Kanti Nokwali.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure.
Thank you, listener.
Sure. And next time, when you come to Joburg, even if it's just a pop in to the World Show so that you are here in person. Thank you so much.
I will do it. Thank you so much, Nikki.
It's my absolute pleasure. Coming up to end tonight's show is Ziobalwa of Kanti Nokwali's Umthombo. What a beautiful album it is. Of course, my brother George Manyosi is up next. He is jazzing it up as always, taking us right to the beginning of the new day and the new week, the midnight hour. Whatever else you do this week, make sure you keep shining. And of course, keep it Kaya.
The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.